Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you, especially if we get a chance to bring our good friend Charles Whelan back on the show. Charles is an 18-year member of our Brain Trust. How about that, folks? He's been hanging out with us since the year 2000, just as the new millennia began. How about that? He's a senior lecturer and policy fellow at the Rockefeller Center at Dartmouth College. By now, he may have a new assignment there. Surely he's got tenure by now. He is the author of a number of books, most of which we've launched on this show, Naked Statistics, Naked Economics, 10 and a Half Things No Commencement Speaker Ever Said, and he's got a whole handful of new ones coming out that we're looking forward to. He's our good friend, Charles Whelan. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back with you. I didn't realize it had been that long that I've been on the show. You're scaring me.
I know. So old. I know it, but we're glad we found you, and we're glad you're still hanging in here with us. So one of the things that is the biggest challenge that we're all facing in the marketplace today, it's a bigger problem in surveys than taxes, than even in healthcare, even competition, even technology, even making a profit. The biggest challenge reported literally 100% of the time is finding qualified people. I can't, in my career, and I mean even counting back in 98, 99, when we had full employment, I don't remember in my lifetime this kind of a tight market. What do you think?
It's crazy. Here where I am in New England, New Hampshire in particular, there are school districts that are canceling school buses because they can't find drivers.
Right.
There are restaurants that are closing for lunch, sometimes more often than that, because they can't find workers. It is, as you said, a unique environment as far as I can remember. And I, too, had the same recollection about the 90s where wages were going up, unemployment was going down, but I don't remember the labor shortages that we're seeing now.
Well, and there were a couple of things that were happening in the 90s that are not happening now. Number one, the Welfare Reform Act of like 97 or 98 put a lot of new people into the workforce. That helped out some. And the other thing is we had not just gone through a bloodletting of our qualified people like we've gone through in the last decade. I mean, we've put so many good people on the sidelines. The lost decade that we had from 07 to 16, that was a lost decade for Main Street and for workers, and a lot of, especially people who were in their 50s and 60s. A lot of those people just kind of stepped aside and let the workplace go by them. We've never, in my career, I've never seen any that kind of a phenomenon happen before, and I think we're still suffering from that phenomenon. What do you think?
I think you're right. The question is why some of these folks aren't being drawn back into the labor force. One of the most striking statistics I've seen, and it's only something a total policy wonk would appreciate, is that the proportion of prime-age workers, so these are people 25 to 54, they're probably not in graduate school, they're probably not in retired. If you look at that for males, that number has been trending down for 40 years.
Yeah.
Part of it is the financial crisis. Part of it's the opioid crisis. Part of it is rising disability. But there are two things going on that should be of great concern. One is these people leaving and not coming back because we'd like them working. We would prefer they were not on disability. Employers mm-hmm. would like to have them if they're able to work. But the second is whether there's just a big skills mismatch. I mean, part of what's going on here
is
people still don't have jobs, but they can't drive a bus or they can't do software or they're not effective telemarketers. They don't show up.
When you don't have the 21st century skills, that's a group of people. When the Obama administration was throwing out disability like candy, it's well known that they were that they put many people on disability, and then you've got basically a jobless recovery in some ways where you got people who aren't qualified for the new jobs. That's something we didn't have a problem with 50 years ago or even 30 years ago. And so all of that is coming together in kind of a perfect storm right now, isn't it?
It is. Plus, you've got fewer people who can pass the drug test and other kinds of issues. The skills, as we've talked about, are rising and changing and so on. And, you know, K-12 education, we haven't talked a whole lot about that in the show in the past, but that may not be doing what we need. There's kind of a gap there in terms of technical training. I'll give you a perfect example. Down the road from here is the largest medical center in all of New England, north of Boston, and they would hire any phlebotomist, any radiologist assistant. I mean, there's just a vast demand for those workers, and they can't find them.
Charles, hold on to that whip. Hold on to that right there. We'll be right back, folks. It's 2010.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.